Dallas Theological Seminary's Chapel Podcast.
At Dallas Seminary, we are passionate about preaching, but not just any preaching. We're particularly passionate about the kind of preaching that is, first of all, true to the text. It is relevant for God's people. It is clear, and it is interesting. That's the kind of preaching that we'd love to hear. And our desire really as faculty is that you as students in your time here would join us in that passion, and that many of you would not only become excited about hearing it and seeing it develop, but you as well would take on the challenge of preaching in that way. This week we celebrate four individuals who have not only caught the vision for it, but have excelled in the demonstration of that kind of preaching. And it's my privilege today to introduce to you our first senior preacher. These are just guys who have, we don't have senior class, but they can finally see graduation. It's just around the corner. And most of them will tell you that they didn't come to Dallas Seminary ever expecting that they were going to stand up and address you during the last month of their seminary career. But they have demonstrated to us that they really understand what we're trying to do with expository preaching, and it is our privilege to have them come and speak to us during this week. Today we'll hear from Mr. Rick Fodrill. Rick and his wife, Laura. Laura is also a graduate of Dallas Seminary from last year. Laura, I saw you earlier. Are you here? Would you like to stand and wave? And their new little one. And glad to have you with us. Rick came from a little town of Hobart, Indiana, and came to DTS in 2008 to pursue the THM and the MABC. He's graduating this year and going to be heading out to California. Laura's going to be pursuing a ministry in counseling there. And Rick said, well, I'm looking for opportunities to minister. And I thought, I think they could still use that in California. So would you join me in welcoming Rick Fodrill as he comes and preaches for us?
Well, I didn't realize I was preaching on Dr. P's birthday. And there are many other preachers preaching this week. Please do not let my sermon detract you from theirs. But let's begin. 3 days. Three more days, and everything will be done for me. All of my assignments, all of my final exams, all of my papers will be done. 3 days. For some of you, it might be another semester. For some of you, it might be another year. For some of you, it might be another decade, maybe. But all of us look forward to that day when the last thing will be done, and we will have what we came here for. And I don't know about you, but I have daydreamed at my time here at DTS about things I'd like to do once I graduate, especially so this semester. And I may do a few during the sermon. Please, I apologize ahead of time. Just bear with me. But I dream about walking across the stage of graduation. And as I'm about to be handed my diploma, Tebowing in front of everybody. I dream of running through campus with diploma in hand, yelling out, free at last, free at last. I dream of coming back to campus, sitting in on a Greek or Hebrew class, just to watch the new students squirm. I dream of taking that diploma, of nailing it to a church office wall, of sitting back in a chair and breathing a deep sigh of relief and accomplishment. These thoughts, these dreams, reveal a desire within all of us to put the seminary burdens behind us. We all want to be able to take those final papers, we want to take those grades, we want to take those assignments, and we just want to be rid of those burdens. We want to cross that finish line that we've been staring at for years, telling ourselves, just a little longer, just a little longer. But we may be leaving behind us more than just our classes. We may be leaving behind us more than just the assignments and the grades that we're ready to get rid of. We may be leaving behind us the instruction we've learned through them as well. We're all in danger of turning these last several years into a diploma hanging on a wall. We're all in danger of losing our seminary instruction. So how can we make sure that we do not lose what we've worked so hard to learn? How can we make sure that we do not leave our seminary instruction behind us? Today we're going to look at God's answer to our problem in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. And we're going to see from there, first of all, how we are in danger of leaving behind what we have learned, and second, how we can hold on to it. So turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13, and we'll first of all see that we are all in danger of losing our seminary instruction if we do not hold on to it. The text says this: hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Protect it, because it is your life. Solomon is telling Israel and his son, that he needs to hold on to his instruction. He's really in a very simple sentence saying what all of Proverbs he's been trying to say. He's been telling his son, he's been telling Israel, hold on to what I've taught you. Give this wisdom a chance. Walk on the path that leads to life and not on the path of foolishness that leads to death. And the same is true of us. For Solomon, it's interesting to think that he may have given this instruction, this only copy of the scriptures, of these proverbs, to his son. And he uses two verbs here that paint an image for us that's very interesting. These two verbs are what we translate hold on and do not let go. And it's interesting to think that Solomon's son may have been holding this proverb, these proverbs, in his own hands, with the ability to let go of them, to neglect them, to drop them, or to hold on to them. And here at DTS, we've been given God's instruction. Our professors sitting here with me have given us God's instruction to hold on to. Now, it is not inspired by any stretch of the imagination, and if you haven't figured that out yet, you will, right? But no one of us would deny that God has not used these men and women to teach us how to do ministry well, to teach us God's instruction about who he is, about who we are, about how to see God's word more clearly. None of us would deny that. But all of us are in danger of losing that if we do not hold on. But you may be saying to me, Rick, come on. I'm not going to lose it. This is way too important to me. I mean, after all, I'm a DTS student. I don't forget things. There's two ways that we're in danger of losing this instruction. Two things that we have to resist, or it will be gone. First, resist taking your favorite seminary instructions for granted. Resist taking your favorite seminary instructions for granted. All of us hopefully have had classes here at DTS that changed our lives. Classes where our professor said something and we thought, I have never had that thought before. I have never seen the text that way before. I've never seen God that way before. I've never seen myself that way before. And this changes everything. This changes the way I do ministry. This changes the way I talk about God. This changes the way that I live my life. But even these favorite instructions, even these things that we think are too precious for us to forget, too close to our hearts, with enough time and without carefully holding on, they can be lost. I used to think that I wouldn't forget my seminary instruction, that certain things were too precious to me. But as I look at my bookshelf, one of several that you have to buy, being a DTS student, my eye naturally glazes across a couple books that I know, that book. I read it my first semester of seminary. I maybe even read it at Moody in undergrad, and that book was so important. That book changed my life. That book was so significant to God's work and God's growth of me, but the details are a little bit hazy. Like me, maybe you've taken one of those books and you've tried to teach it or to explain it to a friend or to someone in your church, and you've said, oh, that issue you're struggling with or that question that you had, I had the same thing happen to me, and I read this book, and it changed my life. And they say, oh, well, what does it say? You say, well, I'm glad you asked. It's because it's about how Jesus... You see, God, and you forgot. And all the while, your friend, your church member is staring at you with this blank expression, and you're thinking, I'm losing them. I forgot it. I'm blowing my opportunity. And maybe if you don't forget the whole book, you know that there's things missing that are so crucial to understanding what that author was trying to get across. This book is one of those books for me. This is The Reformed Pastor by Richard Baxter. This is one of the classics of pastoral ministry, and I read this several years ago, and this is a book that changed my life. This is a book that I thought I would never forget. This is a book that I thought, I'm going to read this thing every year. And although Richard Baxter's theology can be a little funky and smell of works righteousness sometimes, there's real gold in this book. In fact, when I was reading this book, I was tempted on several pages to highlight every word. It was just too good. And so instead of wasting more highlighters, I just outlined it in highlighter for several pages in, and I still highlighted in between. It's pretty pathetic, but I just couldn't get enough of it. But as I look at this book today, I can't tell you the things that I highlighted. In fact, there's only really one page in this book that I distinctly remember, and that's because I was looking at that section just a couple of weeks ago when I was writing a paper. We tend to think that our favorite seminary instructions will never be forgotten. But without holding on, we can lose them. But secondly, do not neglect your difficult seminary instructions. Do not neglect your difficult seminary instructions. This word in verse 13, which is translated instruction, is the Hebrew word musar. And apart from sounding funny, it's an interesting word for this usage. Although it can generally mean instruction, it is primarily used to mean correction or discipline. And I think what Solomon is trying to get across to us is to say, yes, generally, listen to all of my instruction, hold on to all of it, but not just what's easy. Not just the things that you're excited to enter ministry to do. Not just the things that you're chomping at the bit to leave this place and give to other people. But the instruction that is hard. The instruction that kept you up nights. The instruction and the classes that you thought, I just need to pass. I don't need to get a good grade here. If you're like me, you automatically think of the second and third floors of Todd. Yes, the language and the preaching departments. Those classes required double the effort and sweat and tears of any other classes I've ever had. Those classes, I had more fear and trepidation going into and more joy and exuberation getting out of than any other classes on campus. Those classes represent sleepless nights trying to understand simple grammar in Greek and Hebrew. Those classes represent times where I had not only to listen to my sermons again, which was torture enough, but to listen to Dr. Anderson and Dr. Warren and to hear their penetrating insights that just ruining my pride. These classes are the classes that were hard, that hurt to learn. But as hard as they are, we all know their value and their benefit. We all know, for those of us who have taken Greek and Hebrew, how many times have we come to the text with just a simple understanding of Greek grammar, just a simple understanding of Hebrew parallelism, and had a whole new world opened up before us that we never saw before. Or for those of you who haven't taken Greek and Hebrew and experienced our joy, how many times were you frustrated at hearing them tell you to get another 25 observations out of Acts 1:8? But after you did it, you saw connections that you didn't see before. Legitimate ones, good ones. And it changed that text for you forever. How many of us in taking a preaching or a teaching class here at DTS have just noticed all of the barriers that we put between ourselves and between the people, that we put between God's word and correctly understanding it? Things that we never saw before. We know that these things are needed, but they are hard. And as hard as they are to learn, they're even easier to forget. I had the privilege of going to Moody Bible Institute for my undergraduate degree. And while I was there, I took 3 semesters of Greek, very similar to the first 3 semesters we take here. I learned the same vocab. I learned the same paradigms. I read the same books. I wrote very similar exegetical papers, and I did very similar assignments. And I was overjoyed at passing each class. And when I graduated in 2006, I didn't hold on. I neglected that difficult seminary instruction. Yes, I wanted to learn it. I wanted to remember it. I knew that it was important, but it was hard. And in just 2 years in between graduating Moody and coming here to DTS, I'd forgotten it. In the same amount of time it took me to learn those things, they were gone. And all that I had left was maybe half the vocab. And I was a good student. I wasn't the top of my class, but I learned it well while I was in school. But because I neglected it, I lost sight of it. And so I had to spend another $1,000 a class, another round of sleepless nights, another assignment after assignment that hurt to learn. Resist neglecting your difficult seminary instructions, because they're so much easier to forget. But how? And that's all well and good to say those things, but how are we going to do that? How can I make sure I don't neglect and I don't avoid the instructions that I've been given? Protect your seminary instruction, anticipating the life that it will bring. Protect your seminary instruction, anticipating the life it will bring. Come back with me to the text, Proverbs 4, verse 13. And we're going to spend more time on the second phrase. We'll read the whole thing, but spend more time on the second phrase. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Protect it because it is your life. Protect it because it is your life. This word translated protect, it can also be translated guard. And I think it is parallel with the two images at the beginning of holding on and not letting go, but it adds a different picture, and not a different, but an added picture for us. It gives us a picture of a guard who's standing with sword and shield in hand, standing willing to put himself in harm's way to protect. A guard who's not making some casual commitment to hold on and not let go, but a guard who clings to what he's protecting and who puts himself in the way of anything that would take it away from him, anything that would cause him to let go of it. My wife is back there, and she is holding our baby, our 6-month-old firstborn child. She is holding on to her, and she's not doing it casually. She is protecting her. And you might not be able to see it now, but if any one of you, I don't care if you're a student or a professor, tried to take that baby away from her, the mother bear instinct within her would be unleashed, and we would all need to look away. Okay. Protect your seminary instruction. Put yourself at harm's way if need be to do so. But the second thing I want us to note is this phrase, because it is your life. Solomon is not just giving a command to his son, a command to be followed at all costs, a command to be obeyed, and that's that. But his command is something that anticipates life that it will bring. In fact, all of God's instruction to Israel, most of God's instruction to Israel in the Old Testament is to tell them, obey me, and you will have life. Obey me, listen, hold on to my instruction, and you will stay in the land. You will have prosperous food and wealth, and you will be looked at as a nation among nations. But if you neglect it, if you don't hold on, if you let it slip, then that leads to exile. That leads to death. And a very similar thing is true for us here at DTS. We are not Israelites in the Old Testament. And we by no means preach a health and wealth gospel. But our seminary instruction is our life. None of us would be here if we didn't believe that. And by God's grace, the degree to which we hold on to our seminary instruction will determine the quality of our exegesis. It will determine the quality of our preaching. It will determine the quality of our ministry decisions. It will determine the quality of our life. That's why we're here. Anticipate the life that these seminary instructions will bring. Anticipate the encouragement and the clarity you'll be able to give to people from God's word. Anticipate the counsel you'll be able to give to people who are hurting and desperate for God. Anticipate the wisdom you will receive, the instruction you'll be able to heed, and the obstacles you'll be able to avoid. Protect your seminary instruction, anticipating the life it will bring. And there are several ways that we can do this, and I just want to point out two that I plan to do for myself. First of all, protect your seminary instruction by retaking your courses in ministry. By retaking your courses in ministry. Now, don't freak out. I'm not saying that you should ever have to come back here, okay? What I am saying is something very simple. All of us, when we go into ministry, are expected to know what we were taught. Right? We give them a DTS diploma, and they expect that to come with something. They expect that to come with someone who knows something about DTS. It's very simple. And the very easy way that we can make this happen is just by rereading a book, picking up Baxter and read it again, giving yourself an assignment of just one book a year, a book a quarter, to reread and just to go over those things you know you need to remember, you know you cannot let go of. It's as simple as taking a BE or an ST course and making it into a class at your church. Don't reinvent the wheel. Don't write your own curriculum if you don't have to. Use these people. I've had the privilege of doing so in the 4 years I've been able to be in ministry at Frisco Bible Church with middle schoolers. I have shamelessly used these guys in lessons and in PowerPoints and all kinds of things, and it has made me look a whole lot smarter than I really am. Okay. Now, I gave them credit. Give them some credit, but don't plagiarize. But use it. Use it. Is your church finding out, is your ministry finding out that you're not as smart as you look? Then bring out your professors. Right? Put it to use. There's an image I want us all to remember. It's an image that I am incredibly frightened by right now and have dry mouth with. It's an image of our chapel here. And this image of our professors watching, guarding this pulpit is an image that I think helps us with this retaking of our courses. These professors are up here intimidating me and grading me based on what I have learned. They are wondering, they are hoping, they are praying, has he held on? And how many times have we seen DTS alum come back to this campus stand before you here in this pulpit and as their introduction say how afraid they are, how nervous they are, how intimidated they are at doing this. And it's because they know. They know that these professors are watching. They know that they are hoping. They know that they are wondering, has she guarded it? Has he held on? Is she protecting this instruction that we gave to her? And sometimes it's hard to tell. But this is an image that I hope we will all take into our pulpits, that we will all take into our leadership meetings, that we'll all take into our counseling sessions and into our ministries, that we stand on their shoulders, that they are hoping and they are praying that we will hold on. Protect your seminary instruction by retaking your courses in ministry. But second, protect your seminary instruction by giving yourself some new assignments. By giving yourself some new assignments. I have not arrived. I'm towards the end of my sermon now, and most of you know that. But our titles are a little misleading. And when we graduate, we will not have arrived either. Master of Theology. Master of Biblical Counseling. Master of Christian Education, and so many other things. I don't think any of us would claim that we've mastered any of these subjects, hopefully. But there's so much more that we need to learn. There's so much more that is ahead of us for us to unwrap and to see and to experience and to enjoy. There's so much more ahead of us. So retake some courses, or not retake, give yourself new assignments. Give yourself a book that is on a subject you know you need to understand. Take that question that is burning in you, that thing that you know you need to have answered before you can really stand in ministry with integrity, and research it. Take your ministry team, take your pulpit team, take those around you in ministry and in life and research things together. Take questions that you know you have to answer and ask it of them. And take your own seminary instruction and make it go beyond yourself. And give yourself some new assignments. And anticipate all the life that will bring to you. Anticipate the joy you'll have in finding answers. Anticipate the grief removed of questions that your professors have put on you without answers. Anticipate the ministry decisions you'll be able to make, the obstacles and the bad decisions you'll be able to avoid, and the clear communication and encouragement of God's word and of God's truth you'll be able to convey and to give to his people. Imagine the picture of God in your mind that continues to grow and grow, and that you continue to appreciate and be in awe of, because you're not going to settle for the books on your shelf, because you're not going to settle for a piece of paper. Protect your seminary instruction, anticipating the life that it will bring. Protect it by retaking your classes in ministry, and protect it by giving yourself new assignments. When a runner prepares for a race, he will rid himself of every weight that would slow him from running as fast as he possibly can. He will only put on him, she will only put on her whatever will make them run the fastest possible and reach that goal as quickly as they can. Except that every now and then you will see a runner who's about to get involved in the race pull out from under their shirt a necklace, and they'll kiss it. A necklace which does not help them physically run faster. A necklace which might chafe on their skin while they run. But it's a symbol. It's a necklace of something that represents where they came from. It represents a mother who told them to never give up no matter how hard life became. A wife who is this person's constant support. A child who believes in you no matter what anyone else says. And a Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has brought him to this point, to this race, for his glory. It's a symbol of a life outside of the race, of a life before the race, that he never wants to forget. A symbol that reminds him how to run and to run well. And so he runs. He runs anticipating the joys of everything coming ahead of him in the race, but every now and then holding that necklace because he never wants to forget where he came from and how he got there. So when the race comes before you, when it's your turn to walk across the stage and to receive that diploma, and you have dreams of T-bowing in front of everybody, and you have dreams of running through campus shouting at the top of your lungs and leaving everything behind, and that diploma is placed in your hands, hold on to it. Hold on and run well. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the privilege it is to be a student here at DTS and the privilege it is to finish here at DTS. Lord, you have taught us. You have changed us. You have entrusted to us your instruction that we may carry it into our lives, never leaving it behind us. And you've given us the promise of a life where this instruction matters, of a life where we can have true joy and we can be saved from so many different things that stop us from doing your ministry well. So, Father, thank you. And help us by the Spirit, by your grace, and through the Son to honor you in all that we do. Amen.